As we've noted, the theme verse for this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Here I am, send me. The whole verse reads like this: Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? I said, Isaiah speaking, I said, Here am I, send me. A little bit of background. The year here is 740 BC. The United Kingdom had long been divided into the Kingdom of the North, Israel, and the Kingdom of the South, Judah, and neither kingdom had been completely faithful to God through the years. They had turned their backs on their loving Creator. They had rebelled against Him. Now, the Northern Kingdom was about to experience God's judgment by the hand of the Assyrians, and the same thing would happen to the Southern Kingdom of Judah if they did not turn their hearts back to God, back to the Holy One of Israel. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is speaking this message of impending judgment to the nation of Judah, to the city of Jerusalem. In fact, as you read the opening verses of, or in the opening chapters of the book of Isaiah, it's actually a trial scene. There's a trial taking place, and God is presenting His case against a people who had been stubborn and rebellious. I'm just going to read two verses from these opening chapters, but these two verses give us a sense of what's happening here. First of all, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth. You hear that often, that phrase often in the prophets. And what that phrase is referring to is a trial taking place. God is presenting forth His case. And God needs to have witnesses, and He calls upon heaven and earth to be His witnesses as He presents His case. For the Lord has spoken, and this is what the Lord says, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. We've been talking about the story of the Exodus in the series that we're on right now, and we've seen how God delivered His people. He formed His people into a nation. He gave them the law. He came into relationship with Him. He has reared up His children, brought them up, delivered them, and they have rebelled against Him. And then the next verse, I think, is very insightful. Verse 3. It says, The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand. That's an interesting comparison there. You notice what God is doing here. He is comparing His people to domesticated animals. An ox. And we typically see an ox as kind of a stubborn animal. You've got to really work hard to maneuver the animal. You need to it's difficult. But here he says an ox knows his master. A donkey. Donkeys are often characterized as very stubborn, very rebellious, very difficult to manage. Here in this one verse, God is saying, A donkey knows his owner's manger, but my people Israel do not know. My people do not understand. God's people are being compared to domesticated animals, and the domesticated animals looking better than God's people. The case goes on in the next few chapters as God lays forth how His people have wandered away and how His people have been stubborn and rebellious. And then in chapter 6, our focus this morning, Isaiah receives a vision from God as God sits upon His throne. And this vision is calling him to go to the people. Isaiah was a man who first was called and then was sent. And here's the key. Isaiah embraced his mission wholeheartedly, even though he knew that the message that he would bring to the people was an unpopular message. And even though he knew that he would likely suffer great difficulty in bringing that message to the people, he embraced it willingly. This should be a model for us as believers today. The same attitude should characterize our response to God's call and sending. There is a world of people who need to know Christ as their Savior, to hear the message of the gospel. Will that be a popular message for the world? No. Will there be difficulties and challenges as we take that message out? Well, yes. But Isaiah, when he was faced with that situation, willingly responded, "Here I am, send me." God is sending us. The question is, what will our response be? Will we allow the unpopular nature of the message deter us? Will we allow the suffering we could endure slow us down? Or will we respond like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me"? Now, Isaiah's message was a bit of an unpopular message. He was there to share about impending judgment upon the nation of Judah. We have, as believers today, a message of grace, a message of forgiveness. In fact, later on in the book of Isaiah, there are several chapters which describe the coming Messiah. As I was reflecting on the book of Isaiah, I noted that the book of Isaiah is very similar in structure to the book of Romans. As you know, the book of Romans begins by describing the sinfulness of man, the waywardness of man, how man left to himself is utterly lost. That's how the book of Romans opens. But then it introduces Jesus as the answer and the salvation of Jesus, that is to bring deliverance from those conditions. And the book of Isaiah is very similarly structured. The opening chapters put forth the case of how we have fallen away, how we are more stubborn than a donkey. We are more difficult than an ox. But then Isaiah goes on in the chapters that follow to send Isaiah with the message and talk about the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer that God will one day send. We have that message of the gospel. We have that name of Jesus. Forgiveness is available. Eternal life in heaven is a reality. We must take that message to the world. Like Isaiah, we should be excited. We should be willing to take the good news to all those who were bound up in sin and in hopelessness. Another thing we learn from this passage is the nature of who God is. And we see this throughout the scripture. God is a God of action. He is a God who comes down and meets his people in their enslavement to bring them out. God is a God who sends deliverers, who interacts with his people. He is a sender. And he calls upon people to participate in his work by sending them out to perform missions or duties for him. In fact, the English word for mission comes from the Latin word missio. And that word means to send out or being sent out. Missions is a notion of being sent out. This morning we're going to look at several incidences, events in Scripture that describe God coming, or God of action, calling individuals, sending individuals. And one of our points of focus this morning is to see how willing those people who were called and sent are in responding to God's call. We're going to begin this morning with the book of Exodus chapter 3. This is a story that many of us are familiar with as we've been looking at the story over the last few months. It's the story of Moses. One verse we will look at, Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, "So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Notice here, God is calling him. He is saying, "Go, I am sending you." Moses received the call from God. What was that call to do? It was a call from Moses to lead the Israelites out of their enslavement in Egypt and bring them into the promised land. Now we said we're going to look at the willingness to respond to that call. Was Moses eager and willing to go? Well, we know he was not. We've looked at this recently. The notion when God first talked to Moses, Moses actually offered up some excuses on why he should not need to go or could not go. Moses' first response was not willingness, but reasons why he couldn't go. You know, sometimes we do the same thing. God nudges us, God calls us, God sends us. And instead of responding quickly and with eagerness, we think of reasons why we really can't do that. Well, we know the story of Moses and the Exodus. God was patient with Moses. God did reason with him. In fact, in the end, he provided Aaron as a helper for Moses, encouraging Moses to fulfill the mission that God had called him to. And what was the result? So we see that the Israelites indeed were set free. They eventually did come to the promised land, although they did suffer a bit in the desert for some of their grumbling and their lack of faith. Another event recorded in the scripture is the story of Jonah. The story of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And this is what God said to Jonah. "Go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from God. Jonah. Jonah was called. Jonah was sent. And what was he to do? He was to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh. Was he willing? Well, no. Many of us are familiar with the story of Jonah. He was not willing. In fact, his unwillingness even surpassed that of Moses. Moses just offered up some excuses, but then eventually followed through. Jonah gets on a ship and heads in the opposite direction. But God wasn't going to just allow Jonah to go unscathed. God is going to meet Jonah. God's going to work with Jonah. God's going to redirect Jonah. You know, God calls us on a mission, or God sends us. We could offer up excuses. We could resist. But I don't think God is going to work with us and bring us to the point where we are indeed fulfilling God's call upon our lives. God sent the storm. He sent the large fish, swallowed up Jonah. And Jonah has a time to reflect and to see that it is futile to resist and to refuse to obey. Jonah does reluctantly agree to go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim God's impending judgment. The result in the end, the people of Nineveh believed and repented. They were spared the judgment that God was intending. This again reminds us that God doesn't want to send judgment. He wants to send the message of repentance, the message of forgiveness, the message of being restored to him. A third passage. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?" The time period here for this particular passage is after Saul had been anointed as the king, but he had begun to turn away from the Lord, and the Lord had removed his spirit from Saul, and Saul was no longer going to persist as the king of Israel. And God was sending Samuel to anoint the new king of Israel, David. Let's pick up where we left off. God says to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you." God says to Samuel, "I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Samuel, called of God, sent of God. What was he to do? He was to go to Bethlehem to anoint Saul, King Saul's replacement. Was he willing? Well, actually, he was not willing. If you read the next two verses, it describes Samuel expressing his fear to God, sharing to God, "You know, if I did that, God, if I fulfilled that mission, if I went on that mission, I could be in danger of Saul's wrath." He does express fear. But then God intervenes and God offers to assist. God even offers to Samuel the scenario or the case or the excuse of offering up the sacrifice and letting that be the pretense for visiting with Jesse. Sometimes, when God calls us, even to a simple task, we sometimes fail to obey because we worry or we fear about how others would respond, how others would receive us. Well, here in this story, we see that Samuel, the prophet, does the same thing. But God is there and God is willing to help. God will assist. God will walk with us and provide for us the means of fulfilling the calling that he has placed upon our lives. So we see Moses, not very willing to go, offering up excuses. We see Jonah, not willing to go, and actually running the other direction. We see Samuel hesitant about fulfilling God's call upon his life because he feared how others would react and how others would perceive what he was doing. Let's now turn to the fourth example, which comes from our theme verse this morning, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Here we see a very different response. Reading now verses 8 through 10. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Verse 9, he said, "Go." God says, "Go and tell this people." And then the next few verses describe the message of impending judgment that God wanted the people to hear. Isaiah is called. Isaiah is sent. He was to tell the people of Judah that they were in imminent danger of God's judgment if they did not turn their hearts back to God. If they did not turn from their waywardness and be reconnected with God's law, God's covenant relationship, and our focus, the willingness. Isaiah was very willing. What were the results? Well, the results were not what Isaiah had hoped for. Isaiah does deliver God's message, but Israel, or Judah actually, Judah does not respond favorably. But that is sometimes what missionaries will experience. There are many times when missionaries go on to the field and they spend their whole lives sharing the gospel with a people. And the response is not as large as they had hoped for. I have an uncle who has given his whole life to sharing the gospel message with Muslims around the world. He has actually served in many different places around the world, and his whole ministry life, his whole missionary career has been given to bringing the message to the Muslim community. There are some who have responded, and these are wonderful stories, but he is only able to share a limited results on his work. But here's the key, and this is what we see from Isaiah. It's not the results that are truly important. What is important is our obedience to God's call upon our lives. Our faith in and our obedience of God is what is essential, not the response. We are to go, we are to proclaim. Isaiah went and he proclaimed. The people did not respond as favorably as they ought to have, or as Isaiah would have liked them to. They do indeed suffer the judgment in time. Babylon will eventually take the nation of Judah into a period of captivity or away from their land. But Isaiah was willing, eager. Hear my, send me. Let's now turn to the New Testament. Look at a final few verses from the New Testament as we continue the same theme. Being called, being sent, and exploring the willingness to go. The next passage I want to look at is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out unclean spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Verse 2, these are the names of the 12 apostles. And then the next few verses list the names of all the apostles. Notice here there's been a shift in the labels for these 12 men. First, they're described as disciples, and in the very next verse, they're described as apostles. Interesting. What's the difference between a disciple and an apostle? Well, a disciple is a learner, a follower, a student of Jesus. And we all need to be disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, students of Jesus. The word apostle means one who is sent. And I think this is the order, this is the pattern that is expected. First, we would be disciples, true followers of Jesus. And then we'd be willing to be those who are sent and to go to others. Let's pick up at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instruction. Verse 6. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I think that last part of that verse, freely you have received, freely give, parallels this distinction between a disciple and an apostle. Freely you have received, you're a student, you're a follower of Jesus, you received. Freely give, freely take the message of Jesus to others. Be an apostle in the sense of being sent and going. So the 12 here are being sent. What are they to do? They were to go to their fellow Jews, to perform miracles of healing, to drive out demons, to raise the dead, and to announce the kingdom of heaven that was near. The text does not really address their willingness or unwillingness to go. We can assume that they were willing to go. And what was the result? The news of Jesus spread, and the name of Jesus was glorified. Let's turn now to the book of Acts, chapter 9, an interesting little story about an individual in the church that we don't really hear about until this particular incident. So it's just one of the members of the church, and how God had called him and sent him. I'm reading now from the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning in verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. If you are familiar with the story, this is the story right after Saul is converted, meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he arrives in Damascus a changed man, and Ananias is being used to welcome Paul into the fellowship of believers. Verse 12, in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Verse 13 is the response of Ananias. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the high priest to arrest all who call on your name. Seems to be a little bit of a resistance there, a little bit of questioning God and whether or not this was a good plan. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. You know, I don't think God wants to hear our reasons why we can't go. God says, go. And then after God hears our reasons why, God says, go again. The Lord answered Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placed his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me. The Lord has sent me so that you may see again and may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Ananias, we don't know anything about him other than this verse. He was just the average person in the church, a believer, a disciple of Christ, waiting and looking for how he could be used by God. God calls him. God sends him. Yes, Ananias was fearful at first. Yes, like Moses, he had a few excuses on why he maybe should not go. But God persists. And God says, go. Sometimes we are fearful. Sometimes we can come up with good reasons, or at least we think they're good reasons, on why God shouldn't have us do what God seems to be encouraging us to do. But the Lord is persistent, and the Lord does want us to respond and to go when we indeed are sent. What was the results of Ananias' eventual willingness to go? Saul was healed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was baptized, and he was sent to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Our final passage this morning, and the passage that will bring application to us today, is the passage of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, a passage that we have read numerous times. We'll read it again because this is God's calling upon our lives. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." The day that Jesus gave those words, it was just the 11 disciples. But this message wasn't simply to the 11 disciples. It was to the church. And what was to take place? To go out and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that God has commanded. Were the disciples willing to go? Yes, they were. And the book of Acts is full of the stories of these early believers, this first church, going out and sharing the good news of Jesus with the world in which they lived. The question of application for us is, are we willing to go as well? People from all walks of life, people all over the world need to hear about the gospel. They need to come to faith in Jesus. God sends not only individuals, but He sends His whole church. As we noted on the earlier, as we were looking at the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, one of the themes was every church, the whole church, is called to mission. So often we think in terms of the church sending out individuals. We even number them. We have 5,000 missionaries designated to take the gospel out. And that indeed is the case, but it's not simply the church sending out individuals, but instead God sending the church out. Each one of us being called, being sent, being His hands, being His feet in the world. The mission is for all of us to take His message, take our testimony outside these church walls. Will we respond with that same willingness that we saw in the prophet of Isaiah? Not allowing excuses to be our first response. Not allowing fear to be our first response. But allowing God's call and God's commission to invoke within us an immediate, eager willingness to go. Isaiah says, "Here am I. Send me." I trust that each one of us is willing to be sent and willing to go eagerly. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much for the men and women that You have called and You have sent. We also thank You for each church that You have called and You are sending. Let us be a people who hears Your call. Let us be a people who responds with eagerness. "Here I am, send me." Let that be our response to Your call upon our lives, to Your call upon our church. Let us pray. Let us give. Let us be intentional in our going and bringing the gospel to those around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.